This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, if you're a grown-up and you want to read comic books, try calling them graphic novels. First, though, the poisoning of Ukrainian presidential candidate Viktor Yushchenko was even worse than earlier reported. New tests find levels of dioxin more than 6,000 times normal. A lab says he's got the second highest levels of the toxic agent ever found in anyone. The Reform candidate, who's in a repeat runoff the day after Christmas, first got sick in September. It was only last week doctors confirmed he was poisoned. John Trestrail is director of a regional poison center based at DeVos Hospital in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's a former visiting instructor at the FBI National Academy. John Trestrail, welcome to Day to Day, and tell us, what is dioxin? Does it make a good poison?
Well, it's a very rare thing to use. Dioxin actually is a contaminant that's found in herbicides or plant killers. It's kind of a decomposition product. It's not the kind of thing you'd go down to the local chemical supply company and buy a half a pound of dioxin.
With 6,000 times normal levels of this in his body, why isn't Mr. Yushchenko dead?
We don't know much about the human toxicology of dioxins. We know in animals what it does. I'm not quite sure what the normal background level is for humans. There really shouldn't be any there. It's an environmental contaminant. So I'm not quite sure what's going to happen to this chap.
So if you were investigating this poisoning, how do you figure it out?
As with all poisoning cases that I'm involved with the investigation, we begin with the biggest group of evidence, and that is the victim. Once we detect something in the body that shouldn't be there, of course, that only tells us what is there and how much is there. It doesn't tell us why it's there. So then we have to begin the investigation as to who put it there, why is it there, and when did they put it there. My main area of interest is the offender. I want to get inside the head of the poisoner. I want to know why they think that way, why they choose that weapon, what kind of person does that. The next question is, so who would do it? And, of course, you start with what's called victimology, which is the studying of the victim. Who has anything to gain by the death of this individual? And you work from there.
Is there a particular kind of person who is a poisoner rather than shoot him or stab him or push him off a bridge?
Well, boy, there's the question I'm trying to answer. I have some hypotheses I've worked on over the years. I believe that poisoners are non-confrontational individuals. They're not in-your-face kind of murderers. They're when your back is turned. I think you'll find they're extremely narcissistic. They're in love with themselves. They're extremely spoiled. They're cunning. It's typically a white man's weapon. These are some of the things that we've postulated about these, but yet they've yet to be proven in scientific studies.
If you were doing this investigation, wouldn't you ask why someone would use this particular poison? That is, why not use arsenic or something else that you knew would actually do the job?
That's a good question, and I'd certainly start with that. It's a very rare substance to use. I mean, how do you isolate this? I sometimes speculate whether there might be something else involved here besides this, although I don't know what that is. Of course, arsenic would be the number one poison that's been used for centuries.
That's the poisoner's favorite tool?
That has been.
I suppose one problem with arsenic might be that, in fact, it would kill the person for sure, and you don't. Maybe they didn't actually want him dead. Maybe they just wanted him sick. Do poisoners, is that something poisoners do, just make people a little bit sick for a while?
Well, typically poisoners go for the fatal shot. However, in this political situation, it could be that they just wanted to incapacitate him.
How common is poisoning in this country if you want to take somebody out?
My database now has about 1,036 cases going back hundreds of years. I'm logging into that every day, adding cases as they're known from all over the world. I really don't know how common it is. I think that I've often asked the question, well, it's not as common as it used to be. And I say, well, why do you think that? And they say, well, because we're better at detecting it today. And my response to that is, because of that attitude, you're worse at suspecting it in the first place. You figure, who'd do it? They'll find out. Well, you got to look for it first. Ask yourself, how many autopsies are really done on people who have no visible signs of violence on them? Not that many.
John Trustrail, a practicing toxicologist in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the author of Criminal Poisoning, a guide for law enforcement, toxicologists, forensic scientists, and attorneys. John, thanks for being with us on Day to Day.
Thanks for having me.